A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Fighting on Film podcast, the podcast all about classic and obscure war movies, from the Normandy landings to the days of chivalry and swords. If it's been captured on film, we're going to try and cover it. I'm Robbie of RM Military History.
I'm Matthew Moss of Historical Firearms and the Armourer's Bench.
Hello there, sorry to interrupt. I wanted to let you know that you can now join our supporting cast over on Patreon. As thanks for your support, you'll be able to help us pick films, submit questions for guests, have first pick on brand new and exclusive merch, and much more. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show. Hello and welcome back to Fighting on Film. This week you join us as we embark on another show and tell episode. Now it's been a little bit of a while since we've done a show and tell. Basically the premise of this is we just have an informal discussion about a couple of films that we've seen recently, talk about them, and try and decide whether we want to cover them in more depth later on. And then you guys on social media can let us know whether you'd be interested in us talking about them in a full episode down the line.
Yeah, it's kind of like just like a little Pandora's box of content that we've been watching lately. So I think the first film for this episode is Ambush from 2023. Now, me and Matt saw this together, another rarity on the show that we've actually in the same room watching a movie. Matt came around to do some. We were doing some airsofting at the week a few weekends ago, and you know, as we do, we were like, right, let's watch a film because it's technically work, I guess, with the podcast. So we spent ages deliberating, and we went on the like a YouTube channel that was new trailers, and we thought, well, let's see if there's any war ones. And this came up, and we were like, this is a certain type of war film that we can enjoy.
It was a good trailer.
Aaron Eckhart, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, you know, the sort of Hollywood's nearly men. You know, they're almost big stars at one point.
Clips of Firebase Assault. So, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of gunfire going on.
We're sucker for that.
A lot of shouting.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So we watched it.
Bit of shooting.
Boy, oh boy.
Hmm.
So it's made by Saban Films. Now, if you're any sort of movie connoisseur, you'll know that Saban are known for probably like the sort of basement barrel or DVD, straight to DVD, straight to streaming, less than stellar movie. They own some pretty big IPs, but I don't think they don't make your sort of top tier stuff.
From what I know, like they're like a mid tier. They make a lot of direct to video films and now direct to stream stuff. And to be fair, this was fairly well made in terms of production value. Directed by Mark Berman, as we mentioned, starring Aaron Eckhart, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, and an ensemble of younger actors. Just to give a bit of a synopsis of the film, a group of young elite commandos, led by Captain Drummond, are tasked with collecting highly classified information that can change the fate of the war. So that's the little taster blurb that's on
The MacGuffin is MacGuffining hard in this one. So
it is. It's a binder of secret information
about like Vietnamese operatives or something.
Yes.
And you're not sure whether it means like South Vietnamese operatives that are working for the Americans or if it's like NVA or VEC officers. Like, they never really explain that.
They don't really show you what's in the binder.
Yeah, the stakes aren't sizzling in this because you're never really sure what the point of it all this is. You're like, okay, so I've got to go and get this thing and there's an ambush. It's not really an ambush. It's a base attack. It's a fire base attack by the VC.
Yeah. There's no ambush.
No, there's no ambush, which is confusing because we were like, well, where's the ambush in ambush?
Also, the commandos aren't commandos. They're literally like, there's a sapper. An engineer, rather, and a couple of like, I mean, they very much drill home that they aren't commandos.
No, but there's two special forces guys at the start in ghillie suits.
Yeah.
That look really out of place.
Yeah.
And it's
with an air rifle.
And a brake, like a proper old style brake air rifle that me and Matt were laughing at. I think if you've seen on Twitter, I think we put a post of us pointing at my TV being like, can you believe this?
Because I couldn't.
I couldn't. I was amazed. You know, we it's the whole thing of if you can't get something that looks right, don't use something that looks definitely, definitely wrong because it just stands out.
Hell, I have wrap a load of scrim around it at least.
Exactly. Or... I mean, they do that in a film we'll talk about later. They do it in that one. And that's not as egregious, but it that's the level of movie that you're watching when you watch Ambush. Indeed, if you watch Ambush after this glittering review. but it's really like, so this is what annoys me about these movies. They make them now, and they don't have the same kind of sheen that someone like Cannon did in the 80s.
No Firebase Glory.
It's no Firebase Glory. It's no Platoon Leader. Like, those movies have redeeming qualities. Either, you know, they've got good sets, they've got decent-ish actors in them, or they've got BAFTA-winning cinematographers to elevate their movie. But, like, I don't know what it is now where I feel like we're in a real slump when it comes to a low point when it comes to, like, low-budget, mid-budget war films. Where they're either this sort of ambush level stuff, or you get something like a Greyhound, like, because that is a mid budget film, or you get something like Fury, but then they're a beast of their own because they've got really good backing and people behind them. We don't have I don't think the genre is very healthy right now in terms of output. I think it's being sort of strung
arguably
along.
Not, yeah,
yeah, by like,
I mean, there's some good stuff coming through, but. This, I wouldn't put this in that tier. Like, no. I mean, there's some great, non-English language movies.
Yeah, exactly. But in terms of like Western
stuff that I've watched recently.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm hoping things like, we talked about it last week, but I'm hoping things like Sisu, things like The Covenant, this new Guy Ritchie one that's coming up, I hope it reignites the genre a little bit.
Yeah.
No, it's not come out yet. Not over here, at least.
So basically, after the Firebase attack, where the binder is stolen by the VC, who apparently knew exactly where it was going to be.
The VC steal the American homework.
Despite the dude frantically hiding it in a ammunition camp.
Yeah.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers arrives with his dog and a shotgun, and they head off into the jungle to find.
Oh, it's brilliant!
The binder, and it kind of degenerates into a tunnel rat movie focused around the young ensemble cast. We're okay, do a pretty good job. And then you've got Aaron Eckhart, who is literally phoning it in. He's at like a command post miles and miles away.
Yeah,
he had an easy day. He's never met anyone else.
Yeah,
into a radio. And at one point he says, victory is measured in the body count. It's just a war.
Yeah. I mean, some American.
The body
officers,
count bit's great, but it's just a war.
Yeah. American officers would probably test by that at some points in the war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Get your body count up, get a case of beers. That genuinely happened.
Yeah. 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 But it's notable that he's probably had a week. Maybe less on set, and he's done his
about three days at a push.
That
I
one
think.
Set that he's in, yeah,
yeah. He's doing all right though. I think they do.
If you watch the trailer, you get like 80% of his scenes.
Yeah, you really do, and it's a shame because we were at that same weekend. We also watched Battle Los Angeles, which is like one of a really good film. I think that we need to do that on the show soon because it is special type of movie.
Absolutely,
it really is. But it's Aaron Eckhart for me. I always get annoyed when I talk about him because I'm like, he should have been big. You know, like I feel like he should be where.
Should have done like, more war movies.
Yeah, he should be like where Downey Jr. is right now, or where someone like George Clooney is. He's got that like old style, sort of rugged actor feel about him, and I feel like
he does.
Him as Two-Face should have like shot him up. Like him as him in Battle of Los Angeles was establishing him as like this rugged star, and it doesn't happen. You know, like I'd love a Taken reboot with him in it, or something along that lines. You know, like a John Wick type movie, like done with Aaron Eckhart. I think he could do it.
Yeah,
it just annoys me. And that's a conversation.
He has the physicality for it and the presence, I think.
Yeah, yeah, which is a shame because it would have been nice to see him on the ground kicking butt in this movie. I think it would have helped it.
Yeah. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers' character doesn't have a lot to do, really.
No, he really doesn't.
He doesn't have any kind of payoff at the end of the film.
He fires his shotgun once. He's mainly talking in cliches to his men and just being... Yeah. Being the B-movie star that he needs to be in this. I think it's the names that you could afford to put on the DVD called the streaming poster. Like, because this is the level that we're at where the two names are the names that are heavily featured in the marketing for this. So it's trying to catch you off guard.
It's one of those films that has got two names that you recognise, not just the one name.
Oh, yeah. So
it's a step above those films where it's got the one name that you recognise.
Yeah, they had some money to throw around on this, clearly.
3 days with Aaron Eckhart money. Oh, yeah. That's what they had. Yeah.
It was good on the CV, I've got to admit. You know, probably paid out Aaron's, you know, tax bill for the year or whatever, or his condo in wherever. You know, you can make a career out of doing it as one of those actors. You definitely can.
I think to sum it up, it's not great, not terrible.
No, I thought it... I wish it had leaned into one or the other. Like it either needs to be a chasing the VC for the MacGuffin through the jungle, or chasing the VC through the MacGuffin through tunnels. So I think everyone needs to be in one location
because it has a weird thing where it parallel. There's a team above ground and then they send a team underground, which makes sense. Flush them out.
Yeah, but the team above ground do nothing.
And I thought, I know. Yeah, they just sort of like walk around with the dog. Essentially, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers takes his dog for a walk in the jungle.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I mean, just to talk for a minute about the, the tunnel scenes. I thought some of them were quite good.
Yeah, they were.
Someone did a little bit of research. I mean, it's not the best representation because those tunnels are big, like
huge. Yeah,
some of them are pretty big.
Some of the networks that the VC had were quite expansive and large when they needed to
be. That's true.
But there isn't enough. You're right that it's not claustrophobic when it needs to be. It feels too large to get any real sort of sense of smallness or sense of.
There's a weirdly choreographed big fight in what appears to be a big cabin.
Yeah, it's a little. That's a little bit off, isn't it?
Towards the end.
But the cast in the tunnels are doing their best. I think the movie goes on for 104 minutes. It feels long, which is annoying.
There's some good jeopardy about, you know, when the NBA are coming through the tunnel and one of the guys is wounded and he's kind of like shooting them with a pistol. Mm. There's bits like that. It's definitely watchable. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Better than the execution. It's definitely leave your brain at the door. Have a beer type film. It's not the most cerebral numb film you'll ever watch.
Yeah.
But no.
In an ideal world, best act would be repeated attacks on a firebase until they manage to like penetrate and break in and steal the binder that they somehow know is there. Second act is all tunnel and maybe with like a final act where they flush the VC out and there's an ambush.
A Jonathan pitch battle.
Ambushes
them? It does feel like it's... Yeah,
that would have been the ideal flow, I think, for me.
It would, yeah, because you need to have like really tight choreographed. Like, look at The War Below, like that movie is overground for a lot of it, and then when they're in the tunnel, they are in the tunnel. It doesn't flip back, you know. At least it does what it needs to do like that, but this one is too.
They kicked a bit more, but yeah.
Disjointed. Yeah, I know, but it, you know, it was for what it was, for what it is. You know, yeah. I don't think these type of movies. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's rewarding to just go, oh, look, it's a straight to DVD VOD film. It's going to be shit. Let's pick it apart for laughs. Like we do that when they're shocking, but when there's but when there's a nucleus in there. There's something in there that could work. It's annoying more than anything else. I'm like, a little bit more money behind you, a little bit more, maybe, it probably all just does come down to money and timing. But, like, there is something here. It's just not, it just doesn't do it properly. Variety said about it, and I do agree. Todd Gilchrist of Variety said, Ambush feels like a throwback, mostly in a good way, to the now-sploitation films that companies like Canon churned out in the 80s. When stories about war were at their most commercially popular. That's Ambush. You can rent it off YouTube, Google Play, all those kind of video on demand services. So, Matt, the next film in this show and tell episode is 2013's Company of Heroes. Now, this is all you on this one, because I've not seen it. Man.
So I hadn't seen it either. And I thought, well, everyone keeps telling me, like, have you seen Company of Heroes? It's not bad. And I was like, oh, okay, I have no idea what it's about. So I think I was home alone one evening and I thought, you know what, I'll just whack it on. It's there. It's formulaic in that it's, I thought, okay, it's a.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a bulge film. Bit of any, you know, behind enemy lines, stuff will happen. There'll be a number of encounters with Germans, then there'll be a climax and that kind of thing. But fuck me, was I wrong? So... It sort of goes off into like Nazi nuke territory. So I did a bit of a live tweet a bit while I was watching it on Twitter at Fighting Film, and the moment when I realised it was going to be super Nazi mega weapons, I was just like, I was so angry. I hadn't read the blurb, and I'll give you the IMDb. Sort of synopsis. American soldiers lost behind enemy lines. There you go. I thought that's what we were getting. During World War II, make a horrific discovery. Hitler has a super bomb in development. Against all odds, they set out to find the scientist in charge of the program who is looking to defect. So.
Wow. That's the plot of
it. It was a bit
War
disappointing.
That we reviewed last year.
Yes, it's been done before recently.
Yes.
And it follows a very similar pattern. So we got Tom Sizemore in a supporting role. We've got Vinnie Jones, and I didn't expect Vinnie Jones because I hadn't read anything about it. I just put it on, recognized the name.
I knew he was in it the minute you started watching it. And then, I was waiting for you.
Vinnie Jones pops up as like a downed liberated POW like RAF bomber crew character, and he does a lot of like calling people wanker and Polak and like doing wanker gestures at people.
A Brit, I guess.
Yeah. And then Neil McDonough pops up, who again, literally an easy payday, phoned it in. He's in like two scenes.
Yeah.
Despite having like mid billing, and you know that he's just been brought on to cash in on the big, you know, the Band of Brothers credibility.
Size was in there for Private Ryan. Like, it's they exactly. know their audience.
Yeah. But your main character is Chad Michael Collins, main actor. I think it's focused around.
Yes.
And then the scientist is Jürgen Prochow. He's a good actor, but in this he's not given a lot to work with.
Mm-mm.
At all. And just to sort of give you an idea of the budget, it looks okay, but then there's a T-34 that's been mocked up to look like a tiger, and they've stuck boxes on the sides of it to make the turret look a bit more blocky.
Right.
And then all the GIs, Rob, are armed with Lee Enfields.
Oh.
SMLEs and number fours.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You live tweeted about that. I did. Like, and, that's an odd choice.
And fun fact, Rob, the sound design on the film has made them do the Grand Ping.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it. Okay, I've just looked up a picture of that tiger. That's a valiant effort.
It is. It's they've had a go there. They haven't just painted like an iron cross on the side of it or whatever the correct terminology for that is. But
they've gone for it. They've really gone for it.
They have. Someone's looked at a tiger and gone, I can do that. Someone's, I think I can do that.
Remembered a tiger from memory and gone, get me the MDF, lads.
Yeah, it's a tiger at home. The CGI is a little bit off. There's a bombing raid at the end, just like in Wolves of War?
Wolves of War, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bombing raid that attacks the facility that is making the bomb. Anyway, so we go on a whole journey, Rob, and it starts off in the Ardennes during the Battle of the Bulge, and then they sort of invade Germany on a train. Yeah, they get on a train and invade Germany.
This is a lot of holes. Sort of like...
Yeah, this is that. You're paralleling my experience of when I watched it. And then it turns into a Men on a Mission movie where they infiltrate the German camp.
Right.
And they finally find the doctor and they spot the bomb. And guess what, Bob? The bomb has... it's got a swastika on it.
Oh, love it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's War Picture Library, Commando book, Valiant
stuff. It really
stuff.
Is. It's like, how can we let everyone know that the Nazis had this bomb that they're going to test drop? Where did they test drop it? Where did they test drop it on?
1944. Where the fuck are they going to send that?
On people? I don't
Norway
know.
Norway or Finland or somewhere that they still control a little bit of territory.
Anyway,
And if basically secretly test my atom bomb, but if all is going badly,
the Allies will never know. I have tested the secret Nazi mega weapon.
Test the Allied vaporizer 9000 somewhere secret. I don't wish for them to know.
Oh my god!
This wonder weapon will change the war. Achtung, Vinnie Jones 9.
Well, there is a scene where he literally does do that. You,
really?
You posted it on the Twitter.
The stinking Nazis
started,
bit.
Yeah, the stinking Nazis.
That was great.
That's quite well choreographed. To
I
be
like
fair.
That. And if the whole
and
movie
he does a bit
had
of
been him, if someone can make like a Vinnie Jones movie of him just
he's chewing the
Nazis,
scenery, Rob. He's
I've
on
a real
it.
Soft
he's
spot
awful.
For him. I love it. I love his story about becoming an actor. I loved him as a footballer. I just think he's great. Just love it.
And he does as well as he can with this. So, we mentioned earlier the air rifle, sniper rifle, but in this film, because I think it was filmed somewhere in Eastern Europe, maybe Czechoslovakia, somewhere like that, or the Czech Republic, I should say.
Does some great research this week, Matt.
Yeah, I know, right? It's a show and tell, Rob. If people want us to do
the
in-depth research, I will happily rewatch Company of Heroes.
That is the format.
Inflicted on you. And
this is a looser episode.
We'll break it down.
Well, I'm threatening to watch my Blu-ray of the Saints and Sinners threequel. I'm threatening to watch that this week, so we'll see. We might cover some schlock very soon.
So, just to get back onto what I was saying, it's filmed in Eastern Europe. So there's unusual weaponry, period weaponry is used. There's a like a Schwarzlöser, like Austrian World War One machine gun that's used at one point, I think, which is an interesting thing to pop up. They were used, you know, during the war. But the sniper rifle that the lead character carries has a lot of scrim wrapped around it. But then it appears that it's actually a G43, a Gewehr 43.
I saw a clip of it, and I was like, "What the hell is that?"
That's quite an interesting rifle that you don't see very often in film.
No, and
I think there were some that were mounted with optics, but not like it's mounted in this film. And there's some pretty cringe bits through scope spotting. Yeah, and shooting them and stuff.
I watched the sniper sequence and I was like, right, okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. All in all, for a film made in 2013, it very much feels like a film made in 2003.
Yeah, I got that vibe from it. It felt like like a sort of if they'd have filmed When Trumpets Fade on HD cameras.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
because that movie
that's a good point.
That movie is a made for TV film, isn't it? This feels the same way. Even in the
big
trailer,
big budget though.
Yeah, yeah. The trailer has like Banner Brothers-y, Seven Private Ryan, Pacific, Greatest Generation type echoing to it. Yeah, even the voiceover's very When Trumpets Fade as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think perhaps we should move on to something that is a bit of a palate cleanser from those
actually
two.
Good. Yeah, we should. So our final offering for you in this episode to go away and watch, because that's what we like about the show and tells, is more sort of please go away and watch these things and see for yourself what we mean, rather than an in-depth review. So you may have seen on the Twitter a few weeks back. One Sunday afternoon, I was browsing YouTube, and this animated short came on my recommendations. And I was like, ooh, animated war short. Very interesting. Now, it's called RAS, or RAS, and it's directed by Lucas Durkheim, an animator, French animator. Mm-hmm. And I'll read you the synopsis on its webpage. Five young soldiers in their 20s on a mission in the middle of the Afghanistan mountains have been bored for months. During a support mission, their routine will finally be shattered. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. It's such a short thing. It is fully formed. The story is all there.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible the story it tells and what it conveys in just about 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it's set in Afghanistan I assume the 2010s. The French troops are there. You know, they've got their FAMASs, they've got a mini-me. I'm not sure what the sniper rifle that they drew is, but everything looks right. It's very well researched. It does enough. The animation is slick. There's a lot of effort and time been put into the shading. I know that
Brunch Studio looks really good.
Yes, animating shading and doing shadowing takes a lot of time. So when it is done, it makes animation just look so crisp. The colour palette's beautiful. And the story is very simple. These men are bored. They've gone through the motions every day. Someone said on Twitter that RAS could also stand for Signaler, probably butchering that French there. But it's like a French translation, is all quiet or nothing to report. So that's even a guy
like
even
a radio
says it.
Later,
guy says it in the the observer for the machine gunner. He even calls in nothing to report. And then just having a little bit of banter, the chain smoker, there's a machine gunner that's sleeping all the time. I won't spoil it because I think it's something you can go away and watch very easily. It's on YouTube now. Mm-hmm. We'll share links when this episode goes out, but you can go back on our Twitter and it's on there. And it all changes. It changes very quickly. And then it's very much back to the same. It's a very good short. And I hope, that something like this gets its audience and it can be made into something bigger. I'd love, and I think we're long overdue, an animated war feature film or a series. I know they tried it with The Liberator, but that wasn't strict animation. It's like a mixture of cell shading and live action. Wasn't for me personally. I didn't think the execution, I think the execution of the animation took away from the story. I preferred it to be one or the other. I think it's hard for me to resonate with the characters in The Liberator because of the animation. But I think something that Dirkheim has done here, something in the vein of this would just suit the medium so well. Just really would. It reminds me, if you watch Love, Death and Robots, it's like their military themed episodes. It could fit in there. It's so good.
Yeah, I know what
it's
you mean.
So good.
Yeah. Well, it came out a few years ago now, around 2019, I think it says. Yeah. Mm. And it's great. I really enjoyed it. It just left me wishing there was more of it. You know, I really wanted a follow up or a longer story. But the story itself is really well formed. Mm. You know, it gets across that monotony, that camaraderie, you know, loss, futility comes across as well. And it's really well done. And it did just leave me wanting a little bit more. But yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing with the animation, I guess, with a small studio like Brunch Studios. Hard like work.
Creating that amount of animation is hard work as it is.
Of course it is. Yeah, and it shows in the love and the dedication, the care really comes through. And as we've seen with things like Star Wars Visions and Love, Death and Robots, hopefully maybe these guys can be picked up and thrown into an anthology or given a chance on a wider stage, because it's a real triumph for what it is. And as a rarity in the genre of the war genre, it's an animation. And there aren't many of those.
Yeah. There's a few interesting animated ones that we can cover, I think, but yeah, there's not
Sergeant Stubby.
Not a lot.
American Hero.
No, there's other actual there's
the war games or the game animation. Of war. That the one based on the
that's one of them. That is one of them.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean I need to go away and look into more of Durkheim's work, I think. Because he has a very interesting style and I think he tells stories quite well. So I have to look into
great.
It.
Really is worth your time. So that is your little roundup, a trio of content there for you to go and enjoy. I'm sure one of them will take your fancy. If you do end up watching one of them, do let us know on the Twitter. We always love to hear what you think of the things that we review. So as always, keep it forth. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can always go on our website, fightingonfilm.com, and you can find the entire back catalogue of the show. Maybe have a little foff binge. And we'll catch you next week for more war movie reviews.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.